Today's reading is 1 John, verses 5 to the end. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us all from sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us all through unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. And his word is not in us.
Second reading is taken from 1 John 2, verse 1 to 6. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the anointing sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to him if we keep his commandments. However, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did.
Thank you. Just want to read you a story. Working people, this person put, working people frequently ask retired people what they do to make their days interesting. Well, for example, the other day, my wife and I went into town and we went into a shop. We were only there for about 5 minutes. When we came out, there was a cop writing out a parking ticket. We went to him and said, come on, man, how about giving a senior citizen a break? He ignored us and continued writing the ticket. So I called him a waste of space. He glared at me and started writing another ticket for having worn tyres. So my wife asked him if he had nothing better to do. He finished the second ticket, put it on the windshield with the first, and then he started writing a third ticket, and this went on for about 20 minutes. The more we abused him, the more tickets he wrote. Personally, we didn't care. We came to town by bus. We try to have a little fun each day now that we're retired. It's important at our age. That traffic warden certainly misunderstood the situation there. And a lot of people, I've found, misunderstand what Christianity is really all about, what being a Christian is really all about. So what is a real Christian? And I've put 10 ideas on the screen here. We're going to put up 10 ideas for you to see. There we are. Someone who lives in a Christian country. I think we'll put them all up, Dan. Let's put them all up. 10 ideas people have about what a Christian really is. What is a Christian? Or what a Christian is. So have a quick look at those. While you're working that out, I'll give you something else to chew on. Here's some toffees. You can pass these around. There you go. Just keep passing it back. There you are. Okay, let's take these in turn. If we had more time, I'd give you some time to discuss this in little groups around the church and see which ones of these make you a Christian. Which ones of these make you a Christian? But what I want you to do is I want you to think in your head which ones of these make you a Christian. Then be honest with yourself and see if you got the right ones at the end. So, let's go through them. Someone who lives in a Christian country. Does that make you a Christian? The answer is no. But it is surprising because a lot of people think it does. A lot of people think, certainly used to think that it did. You know when you go in and you're asked to fill a form out at a hospital and ask put what religion you are, how many people put Christian just because they live in a Christian country and they think, well, we're not in a Muslim country or a Hindu country, we live in a Christian country, therefore I'll put Christian. A lot of people think that just because they're born in a Christian country, they're Christian. And people grew up, lots of people grew up thinking that. And I know this because I talked to a lot of people who have said this in the past, and maybe you have known that too, who said, well, we're Christians in this country, aren't we? That's what we are. I think that's become less so, perhaps, as we've become more of a less of a religious country altogether. And most people, a lot of people now would say that they're not of any faith. But in the past, it certainly was a case. Let's look at number two. Someone who's born in a Christian family. Does that make you a Christian? No, it doesn't. But there's some interesting scriptures that if we had time we could look at to do with that. However, no, it doesn't make you a Christian because you're born in a Christian family. So those who say, well, I was brought up in a Christian family and therefore I'm a Christian, that isn't the case necessarily. And number three, someone who believes in God. Does that mean you're a Christian? Well, we're not quite sure of that one, are we? No? Anyone yes?
It's a maybe.
It's a maybe? Oh, we've got a little bit of an argument going on down here. That's all good. Do you want to say that again? Say it loud, what you just said. Oh, Andy's having a little... What did you just say? Sorry, you got your top in your mouth. Okay, you can be a Muslim and believe in God, but it doesn't make you a Christian. Absolutely true. And in my experience, a lot of people believe in God, but wouldn't profess to be a Christian. They would say they believe in God, but wouldn't. And have you ever thought about the fact that that Satan even believes in God, but it certainly doesn't make him a Christian? Believing in God doesn't make you a Christian. Of course, to be a Christian, you have to believe in God. But believing in God doesn't make you a Christian. A lot of people believe in God, but that isn't the criteria for being a Christian. Number four, somebody goes to church regularly. Who knows that sometimes people go to church, but they're not Christians? Yep, it happens. Up and down the country this morning, there will be people in church that go along because they enjoy the fellowship, or because they grew up doing so, or because that was their tradition, or because they enjoy singing, or because they enjoy playing in a band, or whatever else. But it doesn't make someone a Christian because they go to church. Even if they go every single week, that means there are people going to church every single week, maybe even in this church, that are not Christians. Okay, number five, someone who has been baptized or confirmed. Does it make you a Christian? No. Why not? Someone tell me why not.
Because it's outward, not necessarily inward faith.
Because it's outwards, an outward thing, not an inward thing. Okay. Yes?
It's a thing that Christians would do, but it's not something that makes you a Christian.
A thing that Christians would do but doesn't make you a Christian. Yes. You know, in actual fact, if you are baptized or confirmed, you should be a Christian. Because what it's meant to be, as was said, is the outward sign of the inward grace of what God has done in our lives. We are proclaiming in confirmation that, yes, I believe in Jesus. That's what they do in the Church of England. We're confirming a faith, a baptism that we have had, that we believe in Jesus with all our heart and soul and mind and so on and so forth, and we're following him. That's what we're confirming. When we're baptized, we're saying, yes, we've died to ourselves, we're living for Christ. That's what we're saying. So really it's the job of, I guess, ministers, of church leaders, of other people, to make sure that if people are coming to get baptized or confirmed, they understand what they're doing and they really mean it, and they're not just being hypocritical or doing it because it seems like a nice thing to do, or doing it because they're going along with the crowd, or because if they're a teenager their mates are doing it, or because their parents are saying, oh, you should get baptized or you should get confirmed because you've come to this age, because that's just hypocritical. If you don't really mean it in your heart, you should be a Christian. You should have committed to Christ. You should have made that decision and be a disciple of Jesus before you get baptized or confirmed, because it's the outward sign of that. Unfortunately, that hasn't always happened, and some people have got confirmed or baptized that haven't really made that commitment, haven't really become a Christian. And then grow up thinking that they are, and some of them sometimes realize later in life that they didn't really understand what they were doing, or it wasn't really a genuine faith at the time, and some never do. So it doesn't make you a Christian. Number six, someone who does a lot of good things for people. No, who knows that there are some people out there that don't come to church, that are not Christians, that are better than us. There are some really good people in the world. It doesn't make them a Christian. And it doesn't mean they're going to heaven. No matter how good they are. But certainly being good doesn't make you a Christian. Someone who's a follower of Jesus. Number seven.
No.
We've got yes and no. Who's a no? Yes, go on.
Because Jesus had many people that followed him, but not all of them did what he asked them to do.
Okay. Because Jesus had a lot of people that followed him, but not all of them did what he asked them to do. Interesting. Someone who said yes, follower of Jesus, is a Christian. That does make you a Christian. Who's willing to say the opposite? You've stunned everyone into silence. Well done. All right, you know what? We'll come back to that one. Someone who reads their Bible every day. No? No, you absolutely. It doesn't make you a Christian. You can read your Bible every day, but it's just words on a page. If you just read it like that, and if you don't do anything about it, if you don't make that something that you act upon, then you're just reading the story. It doesn't make you a Christian. Someone who prays to God regularly, does that make you a Christian? I'm afraid it doesn't. There are lots of people who pray. There are lots of people who pray to God. And not just people of other faiths. People out there in times of crisis, in other times in life when they will pray and cry out to God. But it doesn't make them a Christian. Number 10, someone who obeys most of the commandments. What if I'd have put someone who obeys all of the commandments? Okay, I think obeying most of the commandments wouldn't make you a Christian, because you could miss out the most important one or two. The most important one being love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And if you truly do that and love him in that way, then loving him would mean that you would want to be responding to him, and responding to him would probably include responding to his son Jesus. And therefore, you could say, if it was all the commandments, that if you were following God with all your heart in that way, you'd be accepting him and his son and everyone, so you could be. So there's a technicality there. So we could say that you could, but that's why I put most. I didn't want to get into a theological debate about that one. But obeying rules and things like that doesn't do it. So what is a Christian? A Christian is Well, I think the nearest definition I've got to it, probably, in short, and this is in short, so it doesn't follow, is, I think number seven's the closest on there, a follower of Jesus. I absolutely agree with what you've said. A lot of people follow Jesus around and weren't Christians, and I see that in the same way as a lot of people coming to church, perhaps, or a lot of people learning about Jesus, reading the Bible and so on, but not really owning what he says. But if we're truly a follower of Jesus, or a disciple of Jesus, then I think that's the nearest thing we've got to what a Christian is. Someone who's loving God with all their heart and mind and soul and so on, and someone who believes in Jesus Christ, believes in what he did when he died for us, and has repented of their own sin in their life and turned around to follow him, and in following him is living in a way that is then pleasing to him. And I've put a definition, I think, on the screen, Dan, have I? That's the next thing. So a Christian is a follower of Jesus, someone in relationship with Christ. And the word Christian, if I wrote Christian on this board here, it starts off with Christ, I-A-N at the end, yes? So essentially, being a Christian is about being a follower of Christ, Jesus. Being a follower of Christ. Christ is right at the centre of what a Christian is. Someone who accepts that Jesus took the punishment for things we've done wrong by dying on the cross and decides to give their life to his service in response. That's what being a Christian truly is. I think the nearest definition I'd say is being a follower of Jesus in that way. So just put up the next one. Thanks, Dan. The Christians often talk about sin. So we're taught here about, I mentioned, I took the punishment for things we do wrong. What the Bible calls things we do wrong is sin. If I wrote the word sin on here, the middle letter is I, S-I-N. The middle letter is I, and that is what sin is all about. It's about I, it's about me. I'm more important. What I want and what I think is more important than what God wants. That's what's at the centre of sin. It's us wanting our way rather than wanting to follow God's way, wanting to follow Jesus. What is sin? It's doing wrong things. Can you just think for a moment of anything wrong you've ever done? I think if I asked the question, if you've never done anything wrong, put your hand up, no one would put the hand up. And it wouldn't just be because you don't like putting your hand up. What does sin do? It separates us from God. It causes a barrier, it causes a gap, so we can't be in relationship with God, because God is perfect, God is holy. And if I put, I've got some water here, if I drop a drop of ink in this water, it will go blue. It will spoil it. Even a tiny little drop, that's a lot of water. In fact, I'll put even more in it. That's a lot of water. But if I just drop a little bit in it, it won't be pure water anymore. It spoils it. And God is holy and heaven is holy. And if he lets any sin comes into contact, it spoils it. It's no longer perfect. So it causes this barrier. We're separated from God. Who has sinned? Romans 3:23 says, all of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what can we do about it? Nothing. We can't do anything about this major problem. Nothing. But that Romans goes on in Romans 6:23 to say, for the wages of sin is death. It's that eternal separation from God. We are doomed because of that. But God can do something about it and has done something about it, because Romans 6:23 goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So he has made it possible. And here's something that I saw when, and I'm sure quite a lot of you will have seen, from when I was young, and it's always stuck with me, one of the most simple descriptions of what this is about was this, where here's the gap I was talking about here in the middle. And here's man at this point. In fact, I'll draw him. There he is. And here's God at this point over here. And I'm not going to draw him because he's spirit, so there's God. And in the middle is this big, massive gap that sin has caused here that's stopping us getting across. And man, over the years, and through the Old Testament you see this, and through the Bible times you see this, that people were trying to get across here. They were making sacrifices of all kinds, and they were trying to build bridges to get across this gap here, to try and be in right relationship with God. They kept trying to do things. They made mistakes. They then did sacrifices. They killed animals and made blood offerings and all that kind of thing. And they tried to live by a law. And all of that was trying to build bridges to be and stay in right relationship with God. But it just kept failing. It kept crumbling. They couldn't get across. There was no way man could do it, because all have sinned and fall short. And we couldn't sort that out ourselves. But what God did was send his son Jesus. And so Jesus comes into the world, and he dies on the cross, and he bridges that gap there for us. So now there's a way for us to get to God and be in relationship with God. And of course God meets us, like the story of the prodigal son. So here, because of him, we can be, there's God and me and us. We can be in relationship with God again because of what Jesus has done through the cross. It's a very simple gospel message, but it's all about Jesus. If Jesus died for everyone, why isn't everyone saved? Because we need to accept that. We need to believe in him and accept what he's done. If I give someone a present and I say, Christian, I'm going to pick on you again because you're at the front here. Christian, it is a present. Okay, it's a lovely present. If Christian reaches out and takes it, you can do now, then he has that. But if Christian said, no, I'll keep your present, then he wouldn't have that. So Jesus has done it all for us, and he's given us the gift, but we have to accept it and take it. And that's why not everyone's saved, because not everyone accepts what Jesus has done. Not everyone believes him. Not everyone wants to follow him. If God keeps forgiving us, why can't we keep doing wrong? Christian, can you come out again? I'm going to keep picking on you for a minute. Christian, just stand there a minute. Oh, I'm sorry, Christian. I'm sorry, Christian, mate.
Really?
I'm sorry, Christian. Oh, mate, I'm really sorry. He's going to kick me back in a minute, so you can sit down. It's no good just keep doing it and saying sorry if I don't really mean it, and I'm just going to keep doing it deliberately. Of course God will forgive me, but he sees my heart, just like Christian would soon figure out that it wasn't just an accident, you know, and so on. And God sees our heart. He knows if we're really trying. He knows if we're just taking him for granted or not. So yes, God will forgive. But he'll know if you're just not really bothered about it. How do I become a Christian if I'm not one already? We'll put a slide up for that one. Oh, it's the next one. Thank you. How do I become a Christian? Accept that you're not perfect. Hey, we're all at that stage. We all accept we're not perfect, I guess. Next one. Believe in Jesus and what he's done. That's just what I was talking about there. Confess your sin, the things you've done wrong. Say to God, I'm sorry for things I've done wrong in my life. Ask for his forgiveness. And he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. He promises to do that if we're genuine in bringing that to him. He will forgive us our sins. And he'll wipe them away. It says in the Bible, as far as from the east is from the west, they've gone. We're forgiven. That means it's kind of like clearing all of that out so it's clean again before him. And we can have that relationship with him. And we repent. The Bible uses this word repent, which is when we say sorry, when we're saying sorry and we're confessing our sin and asking for his forgiveness, we're also saying, we're going to try and live your way now, Jesus. We're going to try and follow you, Jesus, now, with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and not just keep doing things our own way. We're not going to have I at the centre anymore. We're going to have Jesus at the centre from now on. And finally, receive forgiveness. Relationship with God and eternal life, which is what he promises, that one day we'll be with him in that relationship. Accept, believe, confess, receive. Accept, believe, confess, receive. And the repenting, turning around to follow Christ is like this. I was living life my way. I was at the centre. This is what I was doing in life. I was more bothered about what I wanted, what my ambitions and goals were, how I wanted to be treated by people, and how I wanted to treat other people. I was bothered about all of that, and I wasn't really thinking about Jesus. But when I become a Christian, I repent of my, it's all about me, and I turn around and I say, now it's all about you, Jesus. I'm walking in your light. I want to live your way. I want to know what you want, Jesus. I want to follow your ways and your teaching. That's what becoming a Christian is about. Repent means to turn around and start living a different way. Making Jesus Lord of your life. What does that mean, to make Jesus Lord of your life? Well, Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's not just a case of, well, now I've become a Christian, it's okay, I can carry on doing things like I want to, because, well, he's forgiven me, it's okay, and he'll keep forgiving me, it's okay. There's more to it than that. When we make that decision, that commitment to become a Christian, we are committing to a life of following Jesus. If we're not doing that, then that commitment isn't really genuine, because that's what it means. Take up our cross daily and follow him. I often have talked to people about the things that are in their life looking something like this. Okay, down the bottom here is us. And in our life, can you think of things that are in? Think of things that are in people's lives. Work, thank you. Work. What else?
Family.
Anything else? Hobby. Hobby. Sports, I'll put. Could be hobby anyway, but... What else?
Money.
I'll put next to family, I'll put relationship, it could be a boy, girlfriend, whatever, for younger people. One other thing.
Possession.
Profession might go with work.
Possession.
Oh, possessions, thank you. Possessions, yeah, okay. Okay, so, that's our life, and along with that, we can put God, because he's important in our life, maybe church, whatever. That's what our life looks like. And that's how a lot of people live life. They have different things going on in their life. And so going to church is one of them. What they do with their possessions, sports, one of them. Family is one of them. And God is one of them. But that isn't what the Christian life is meant to look like. This is what the Christian life is meant to look like. God or Jesus is first. He's the most important thing in our life. It's saying, God, what do you want me to do with my money? God, what about this relationship? Is this something that's going to be honouring to you or not? How should I conduct this relationship that's going to be in a way that would be pleasing to you? What about the friendships I have? What about the things that I do? Sport and hobby and so on and so forth. Everything we should be thinking about should be about, what does Jesus want me to do with my life? How does he want me to live my life? He's at the centre of it. Because I'm taking up my cross daily, the Bible says. I'm taking up my cross daily to follow him, which means I'm dying to myself and I'm living for him. See, that's a bit that Christians often forget, because they come along to church and they do the God bit and then get on with their life in the week. But it's not like that. What is a real Christian then? Well, there's no such thing as a non-real one. You either are or you aren't a Christian, quite frankly. A born-again Christian. What's a born-again Christian? A born-again Christian is someone who has done that and said, I lay my life down to follow Christ. Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. A follower of Jesus is what a Christian is. And the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. And we need a life that matches up, which is something that we forget. And I'm not preaching a gospel of works here. I'm not preaching a gospel of works. It's by faith that we are saved. But listen to this. 1 John 2:6, the passage that we read today. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. James 2:26. James says, faith without deeds is dead. So are we saved by faith or works? Paul argues very strongly that we're saved by faith. And Paul is absolutely right. There's nothing that we can do to get to heaven or be in right relationship with God. It's all what Jesus has done. However, James argues very strongly in his epistle that faith without deeds is dead, and our works need to match up to what we say and profess to believe. And if I was going to, I think they're arguing both sides there. And both sides are held in tension together. Because this is what they're arguing for. And I think they both agree. They're arguing for faith that works. They're arguing for real faith that makes a real difference and affects our lives, because we mean it with all our heart and we are taking up our cross and we are following Christ. And will we make mistakes along the way? Yes, we will. And will God forgive us when we do? Yes, he will, because he's faithful and just to do that. Thank goodness. But he sees our heart, and he knows if it's a real commitment or not. He knows if we're seeking to really live in relationship with him or not. And God cannot be deceived. I trust that we are real Christians, really following Jesus. I'm going to be passionate about that for all the days of our life. Let us not be people who just come to church on a Sunday, who just read the Bible now and again, who maybe shoot up a prayer every now and again when we need something. But let us be people who are living and breathing the gospel of Jesus Christ and keeping him at the center of everything that we do. Amen.